She grew up in Eagle River, went to high school at Chugiak, didn't play rugby growing up at all. So, like, you know, she was a soccer player and a hockey player growing up, and that's what she did in college too at Wisconsin, her and her twin sister. She didn't discover rugby until after college when she was trying to make the Olympic team for hockey. And then once she did make the cut there, she kind of just like wondered, well, where do I go from here? And then one of her coaches, somebody suggested to her that she, you know, give rugby a try. And then 2 years later, she's in the Rio Olympics for rugby. So that was her first time around in 2016. And, you know, now she's, you know, this is like her third time going to the Olympics.
You talked to her about what it meant to her to come from Alaska and to be, you know, on this international stage. What did she tell you about that? I mean, like, what, you know, from Alaska kind of helped her on that journey, you know?
So being from Alaska, so she said, she like, you know, being Alaskan taught me what it was to be like, you know, like a team player, and everything she knows about what you became as a rugby player, she learned from being Alaskan. You know, I was born and raised here myself, to where you, especially if you live in like more rural communities, like people have to come together to support each other, right? Because you're not going to make it through these cold winters by yourself. So everything she learned about being a team player, about being a leader, about, you know, being who she was, she learned from being Alaskan. And that's what she took a lot of pride in, not just representing her country, but her home state as well.
Yeah, and I think in your story too, she said it's like that's her identity, right? Like people call her the Alaskan, and you know, now she's able to hang this bronze medal around her neck, and that was an exciting match. They went into this bronze medal match with Australia, right? And can you kind of describe how they pulled that out at the end to win the bronze medal?
This is basically equivalent to a Hail Mary in football, or maybe not even a Hail Mary, but like one of those pitchy woo woo kind of things, last ditch effort. It was a scrum, and the person who was carrying the ball refused to go down, and I guess they thought it was over, and she busted through and just took off. And that technically tied the game. That tied the match, so it didn't necessarily win it for them. That's why, like, they were celebrating, but their coach was like, hey, calm down, you still got to get the extra kick, the kick for the 2 points to win it. And prior to that point, 11 had the only points for them of the game. They weren't necessarily expected to win after being down, but to have that happen is play like the equivalent to like a Hail Mary or something in football. So that was a pretty exciting way to end the match. I'm pretty sure Australia was stunned and devastated at the same time, but it was a great way for the American team to win their first Olympic medal ever. So that was great.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You said Alev had the only points up to that point mm-hmm. in the game. So it's one of those things where like there's the game winner, but if you didn't score the try before that, you're not in contention at all, right?
Exactly.
So I wanted to talk to you about another athlete with really strong ties to Alaska and to Anchorage, but is not on Team USA, and that's JT Thor. He's a player on the South Sudanese basketball team. And even before the Olympics, there were exhibition games, right, that team was playing, other Olympic basketball teams were playing, kind of getting ready for the Olympics. And they made some big news in that exhibition game against Team USA, right?
Yeah, he's a kid that, you know, grew up in Alaska for most of his adolescence, from like age 5 till about, he was like 14 or 15 when he moved away to continue his prep career elsewhere in Lower 48 so he could, you know, get a college scholarship. But yeah, so he was born in Omaha, Nebraska. That's where his parents immigrated from when they left what was formerly Sudan, now South Sudan. And so like a lot of people from Sudan migrated to the United States. You know, there's a huge contingent of them that migrated to Alaska. JT's parents weren't part of that. They eventually came up here. He had some other family that was already up here. His cousin Goy, who's over there with him right now in Paris. But yeah, the South Sudanese team, man, like they gave Team USA all they can handle and then some in that exhibition match. And JT actually hit what was almost a game winner. So he had like a, I think it was a 3-pointer with like 20 seconds left in the game to give them like a 1-point lead. Unfortunately, you know, LeBron James did LeBron James things and went coast to coast and gave Team USA the winning bucket in the end. But it's the fact that they were able to push that star-studded group of Steph Curry, LeBron James, you know, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, all these well-known, the best players in the world. You know, Team USA is projected to win it all. And the fact that that South Sudanese team, even though it was an exhibition, they were able to push that team and only lose by a handful of points was very impressive and kind of gave them confidence heading into the pool play. And then they got their first Olympic victory against Puerto Rico earlier this week.
Well, so then I wanted to ask you too. There's a cyclist on Team USA from Homer, and her name's Kristen Faulkner, and she's a road cyclist. And I guess I wonder, you know, what event or events is she competing in, and are those coming up still?
Yeah, so she might be competing in three events, but as of right now, she's committed to two, which are happening on the 6th and the 7th next week. She may be competing in her first event on Sunday, which is the 4th, but she hasn't committed to that one yet. But, I mean, she will definitely be competing in two events next week.